Chapter 8 Part 1 I slept badly that night. I must know who wrote those evil letters. No smoke without fire. There was a pattern. If only I could find it. At last, I fell asleep. It was the telephone that woke me. I sat up and looked at my watch. It was 7:30. I jumped out of bed, ran down to the hall, and picked up the receiver. Hello?
Oh, thank goodness it's you.
It was Megan's voice, upset and frightened.
Oh, please do come. Do come. Will you?
I'm coming at once, I said. I ran back upstairs and into Joanna's room. I'm going to the Symingtons. She rubbed her eyes like a small child.
Why? What's happened?
I don't know. It was something to do with the girl Agnes, I'm sure. I washed, shaved, dressed, got the car out, and drove to the Symingtons in 30 minutes. Megan came running out of the house.
Oh, you've come.
She was shaking. I put my arm round her. Yes. Now, what is it?
I found her.
You found Agnes? Where?
Under the stairs. There's a cupboard, and she was in there, among the fishing rods and things. When I touched her, she was cold. She was dead.
What made you look there? I asked.
After you telephoned last night, we waited for a while, but she didn't come in, and at last we went to bed. I didn't sleep well and got up early. I had some bread and butter, and then suddenly Rose came in and said that Agnes's outdoor clothes were still in her room. And I began to wonder if she'd ever left the house, and I started looking round and... The police are here. My stepfather rang them up straight away. Then I felt I couldn't bear it, and I rang you up. You don't mind?
No, I said. Come on, let's go to the kitchen. We went round to the back door. Rose, a plump, middle-aged woman, was drinking tea by the fire. When she saw us, she put her hand on her heart.
Just think, it might have been me. It might have been any of us, murdered in our beds.
I interrupted her. Make a good, strong cup of that tea for Miss Megan. She's had a shock. Remember, it was she who found the body. The word body made Rose open her mouth to talk again, but I stopped her with a fierce look, and she poured out a cup of strong tea. There you are, I said to Megan. Drink that. Then I told her to stay with Rose and went through into the house. I met Elsie Holland in the hall.
Oh, Mr. Burton, isn't it awful? Whoever can have done such a dreadful thing? And why? Poor Agnes. I'm sure she never did anyone any harm.
No, I said. Somebody made sure of that. She looked surprised, then said,
I must go up to the boys. Mr. Symington is so anxious that they shouldn't be upset.
She hurried upstairs. Then a door opened, and Superintendent Nash stepped out into the hall.
Oh, Mr. Burton, I'd like to speak to you. You got here very quickly. How did you know?
I said that Megan had rung me up and followed him into a little morning room.
I hear that you telephoned last night and asked about this girl. Why was that?
I told him about Agnes's telephone call to Partridge and how she had not come to tea as arranged. He said,
Yes, I see. Well... It's murder now. The question is, what did the girl know? Did she say anything to Partridge?
I don't think so.
Well, I'll come up and ask her when I've finished here.
What happened? I asked.
Well, it was the servant's day off. Rose comes from Nether Mickford, and in order to get there, she has to catch the 2:30 bus. So yesterday, Rose went off at 2:25. Symington left for his office at 2:35. Elsie Holland and the children went out at 2:45. Megan Hunter went out on her bicycle about 5 minutes later. Agnes was then alone in the house. She normally left between 3:00 and 3:30. But yesterday it is clear that she didn't, because she was still in her uniform when we found her body.
How was she killed?
She was first hit on the back of the head. Afterwards, a small kitchen knife was pushed in the base of her skull, immediately killing her.
Oh, very cold-blooded, I said. Who did it, and why?
I don't suppose, said Nash slowly, that we shall ever know exactly why, but we can guess.
Did she know something?
She knew something. Rose said she'd been upset ever since Mrs. Symington's death, and she'd been getting more and more worried, and kept saying she didn't know what to do.
He shook his head.
If only she had come and told us what was worrying her, she would be alive today.
It's awful, I said, not knowing.
Actually, I think I know what may have been worrying her. You see, on the afternoon that Mrs. Symington killed herself, both servants were supposed to be out. But actually, Agnes came back to the house.
You know that?
Yes. Agnes had a boyfriend, young Rendell, who works in the fish shop. On Wednesdays, it closes early, and he used to come here to meet Agnes. That Wednesday, they had a quarrel almost as soon as they met. Rendell had received an anonymous letter saying that Agnes was seeing another man. He was very angry with her, so Agnes ran back to the house.
And?
Now, that letter to Mrs. Symington didn't come by post, but it had a used stamp on it so that it would look as though it had. You understand what that means?
I said slowly, it means that it was pushed through the letterbox some time before the afternoon post was delivered, so that it would be amongst the other letters.
Exactly.
So my theory is this.
The girl was looking through the window, hoping that her young man would come and apologise.
And she saw whoever it was deliver that letter.
That's my guess, Mr. Burton. I may be wrong, of course.
I don't think you are.
And it means that Agnes knew who the anonymous letter writer was. Yes.
But then why didn't she...
Because the girl didn't understand what she had seen. Not at first, but the more she thought about it, the more worried she became. So she decided to ask Partridge whether she should tell someone.
Yes, I said. And somehow, Poison Pen found out. How did she find out?
You're not used to living in the country, Mr. Burton. First of all, there's the telephone call. Who overheard it in your house?
I thought. I answered the telephone. Then I called up the stairs to Partridge.
Mentioning the girl's name?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Did anyone overhear you?
My sister. Or Miss Griffith, possibly.
Ah, Miss Griffith was visiting. Was she going back to the village straight afterwards?
She was going to Mr. Pye first.
Superintendent Nash shook his head.
That's two people who could have spread it all over the village. And then, of course, there is this house. Miss Holland, Rose, they could have heard what Agnes said. And Rendell may have told people that Agnes came back here that afternoon.
I felt cold.
I was looking out of the window. In front of me was a path and a small gate. Someone had opened the gate, had walked up to the house, and pushed a letter through the letterbox. I saw in my mind the woman's shape. The face was blank, but it must be a face that I knew.
But what do you think happened yesterday?
I think a certain lady walked up to the front door and rang the bell. Maybe she asked for Miss Holland, or perhaps she had brought a parcel. Anyway, Agnes turned round to put her visiting card or the parcel on the table, and our caller hit her on the back of the head.
And then stabbed her in the neck and hid her in the cupboard.
I thought for a moment.
But if Agnes suspected this person...
Nash interrupted me.
She didn't. She just thought it was strange. She didn't suspect that she was dealing with a woman who would commit murder. You see, Mr. Burton, we're dealing with someone who is highly respected.
Part 2. We left the morning room and went to find Elsie Holland, who was organising the boys' lessons. She led us into another room.
Miss Holland, Nash said, will you tell me exactly what happened yesterday afternoon?
Well, we had lunch as usual at 1 o'clock. Then Mr. Symington went back to the office and I took the boys out.
Where did you go?
Towards Coomaker, by the field path. The boys wanted to fish. I forgot the bait and had to go back for it.
What time was that?
About 3:10, perhaps.
Did you go into the house?
No, I'd left the bait in the shed.
Did you see Megan or Agnes? Nash asked.
No, I didn't see anyone.
You make the tea on Wednesdays, Miss Holland?
Yes. The food is already in the sitting room for Mr. Symington. I just make the tea when he comes in. The children and I have ours in the schoolroom.
What time did you get in?
At 5:10. Then when Mr. Symington came in at 5, I went down to make his tea, but he said he would have it with us. The boys were so pleased. We even played a card game. Oh, it seems awful to think of it now, with that poor girl in the cupboard all the time.
So, you noticed nothing unusual when you came back yesterday afternoon?
Her blue eyes opened very wide.
Oh no, Superintendent. Nothing at all.
And what about the week before?
Oh, you mean the day Mrs. Symington...
Yes. Were you out all that afternoon also?
I always take the boys out in the afternoon, as we do lessons in the morning. We went up on the hill, quite a long way.
You didn't go up to see Mrs. Symington when you got back?
Oh, no.
Nash said lightly,
so no one would take the post up to her?
No. Mrs. Symington used to come down and get it herself. She was usually awake by 4.
You didn't think anything was wrong, because you hadn't seen her that afternoon.
No, Mr. Symington was hanging up his coat, and I said, "Tea's not quite ready, but the kettle's nearly boiling." And he called out, "Mona, Mona." But then as Mrs. Symington didn't answer, he went upstairs to her bedroom. Then he called me and said, "Keep the children away," and...
Nash said, "That letter she received, Miss Holland, do you think it was true that one of her sons wasn't her husband's?" Elsie Holland said firmly,
"No, I don't." But Mrs. Symington was very sensitive, and anything so unpleasant would have given her a great shock.
Nash was silent for a moment. Then he asked, "Have you had any of these letters?"
"No, I haven't had any."
"Are you sure? We know that the statements in them are all lies, so you don't have to feel embarrassed."
"But, Superintendent, really, I haven't."
She was almost tearful. When she went back to the children, Nash said,
"Well, she says she hasn't received any of these letters, and she sounds as though she's speaking the truth. So what I want to know is, why hasn't she received one? I mean, she's a pretty girl, isn't she?"
She's rather more than pretty."
"Exactly. So why has she been left out?"
I shook my head.
"But she's not the only person. There's Emily Barton, remember?"
Nash gave a small laugh.
"You mustn't believe everything you're told. Miss Barton had one, all right. More than one."
"How do you know?"
"Because her former servant, the faithful Florence, was very angry about it and told us."
"Why did Miss Emily say she hadn't received any?"
"Because the language isn't nice."
"What did her letter say?"
"That she poisoned her mother and most of her sisters."
I said, "How can this mad and dangerous person be free to write all these things, and we can't see who it is?"
"We will," said Nash. "She'll write just one letter too many."
"But she won't, will she? Not after the murder."
He looked at me. "Oh, yes, she will. You see, she can't stop now. She needs to write them."